Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, we continue our conversation with Bruce Feiler about walking the Bible.
I agree with what you said, Bruce, that the book sneaks up on you because your own lessons learned were not lessons that you kind of set out to learn. As a matter of fact, you were a little bit wanting to maintain a strong sense of objectivity, which makes the experience even more vicariously enjoyable for the rest of us. So now you've got Avner Goren, and you sit down and you began to lay out the plan for the trip. You're talking about five countries, three continents. I mean, Israel is an amazing place. I mean, I remember one of the things I did one time when I was there broadcasting was I asked, they asked me if I'd like to interview the head of the environmental movement in Israel. I never even knew there'd be such a thing. And then I find out this is a place that has more birds flying over it because you've got Europe, you've got Mediterranean, it's the whole bit. How do you set out your itinerary to do this trip?
Well, one of the things that becomes very striking when you actually get in and you try to put the geography to the stories is that it's a pretty clear itinerary.
Yeah.
The entire story takes place on the Fertile Crescent, right?
I mean, right.
We all hear about the Fertile Crescent in third grade, then we never talk about it again.
Yeah.
We should wake up every morning and bow down to the Fertile Crescent. The upper arm of the Fertile Crescent is Mesopotamia, the land between the Tigris and Euphrates. Abraham is born up there. He travels down into the heart of the Fertile Crescent, the Promised Land. And he goes down into Egypt where the Nile is, and that's the lower arm of the Fertile Crescent.
Right.
So you've got that's the basic sort of geographical terrain.
Right.
And we basically decided to focus on stories that could be enhanced by being in the place.
Okay.
Jacob and Esau wrestling in their mother's womb, fascinating story, can't be enhanced by going to a place.
Right.
Mount Ararat, crossing the Red Sea, Sodom and Gomorrah, the desert, these are stories that we could expect
the
to
sense
glean
of place.
Understanding of. So that's basically the stories that we focused on.
So you start where?
We start in extreme eastern Turkey on our way to go out to visit Mount Ararat.
So it was kind of Ur of the Chaldees?
Ur is in, this is actually before Ur, because Ur is where Abraham's family is born, and so we're at Noah. I mean, and because of, back to Mesopotamia, rivers are important.
Right.
Floods become very important.
True.
So we're heading east into the Kurdish war zone where 30,000 people have died in the last 10 years. And we're driving, and Avner's punching numbers on one of these GPS devices. And after a day and a half, he taps me on the shoulder, and he says, there. And 50 miles ahead, through the summit of these hills, is Mount Ararat.
Right. With a green building with a guy that knows everything about it.
Noah's Ark. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the tallest mountain in the Middle East, would be the tallest, second tallest in Europe. And, again, it was a powerful early indication that the people who were gathering and telling these stories had intimate knowledge of the geography, and they're trying to root it in these places.
So what happens at Mount Ararat? What do you learn in this whole thing?
Well, I'll tell you what I learned, and it's not what I expected to learn. Again, we go, as you said, into this town, Doyu Bayezid, two dirt roads that meet in the middle of nowhere. I go into town. I meet a guy who says, oh, you're in that brown car, and this is your license plate, and you're in the hotel, room 104. And I thought, secret police are working overtime. He said, what are you doing here? And I, in my bright-eyed, bushy-tailed way, I said, I'm here to find out about Noah's Ark. Well, he says, go down this road.
I bet you nobody's ever asked
before,
right?
Take a left. There's a green building. Walk up a dark set of stairs. You'll come to a dark room.
Right.
There's another dark set of stairs. Up there is a man who knows everything about Noah's Ark.
Right.
I'm like, thank you. I've seen enough tanks on my way into town. But then I said, well, why have I come here? Down the road I went, took a left-hand turn, up the dark set of stairs, into the dark room. And I chickened out. I turned around, and a man appeared, and he said in perfect Oxonian English, may I help you? I'm here to find out about Noah's Ark, I said. But you were supposed to go up the second flight of stairs, he said. Okay. Up I went. I sat down. The guy wouldn't tell me his name. He was a Kurdish freedom fighter. He looked like a Venetian gondolier.
Yeah.
He said that little kids growing up at the base of this mountain still talk about the luck of Noah, who has the luck of Noah, and who doesn't. And he told me that only five people who were licensed to go up this mountain, and whatever, two were in prison, one was in jail, one was in the hospital, and him.
One of them left by a UFO, by the way.
Surprise, he fell into a glacier a couple years ago and found a piece of Noah's Ark.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
I'm like, I don't really believe you. He said, but the wood was 5,000 years old. I said, I don't believe that. He said, we had it tested, and back and forth we went, and then he let slip that he had pictures.
Oh.
Will you show me the pictures? He wouldn't show me the pictures. I said, you could be the savior of the Kurdish people. He wouldn't show me the pictures.
Yeah.
I said, my mother is dying, which is a lie, and my mother could die in peace. He wouldn't show me the pictures. Not even for my mother. You could tell your mother, he said, that in all the world, there's one person who has seen Noah's Ark. The Bible is real. And if she sees your Ark, will she believe in God, I asked. She'll have to, he said. I have seen the proof.
Now, one of the things that you were going to ask everybody is, what does the Bible mean to you?
And this is exactly the point. I hate to break it to you. He doesn't have proof. He hasn't found Noah's Ark. There's no evidence that any of the stories in this part of the Bible took place. But what became so powerful to me, though this was the early hours of this trip, is that the little kids who grew up in the base of this mountain, 5,000 years after these stories were first told, still talk about the luck of Noah. Who has the luck of Noah and who doesn't? The point is, the Bible is not an abstraction, that book gathering dust. It's a living, breathing entity that's intimately connected to those places and to all of us.
Right.
And that became, I think, the theme of what happened with Walking the Bible.
See, this is so interesting because I was raised in a traditional Christian home, and my parents came to love Israel for a lot of the traditional Christian reasons.
Yeah.
And they became so enchanted with it that they began to lead tours to Israel called For Love of His Land was the name of what they did. My parents had this mystical sense about it. My first trip to Israel, not unlike yours, I went very skeptical.
Yeah.
I went expecting to have no kind of connection. It's dirt, it's land, there's and I went on business, and I had that same kind of sense that the more you're there, the more you realize that there's this interrelationship between the land and the people in this land and the stories of that
that
are inside of them. And it makes this place alive with this. And it's not a sense of history. It's a sense of now. It's very, very, it's a weird thing.
The sense of now, I think you put your finger on. That is the point. The point is that it manages to be perpetually now. Abraham is born up in Mesopotamia. He travels down to the Promised Land, goes into Egypt. He comes back. He and his nephew Lot separate. Lot goes and lives on the border with Jordan.
Right.
That's the Syrian-African Rift. At the bottom of the Syrian-African Rift, that's formed by an earthquake 200 million years ago, is the Dead Sea. It's the lowest spot on Earth. Because it's so low, there's more atmosphere. The atmosphere pushes down on the water. The water pushes down on several miles of salt deposits underneath the Dead Sea. These salt deposits go down toward the core of the earth, up toward the shore, and then sprout up in 2- and 3-story pure salt, asparagus-like formations that all Israeli school children call Lot's wife.
Yeah.
And that's the site of the lost cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you read the stories in these places and you realize the Bible's a lot of things. A book of faith, a book of history, but it's also a guidebook. Maybe the greatest guidebook ever written. And if you read the stories, it will change what you feel about the places. But more importantly, it will change what you feel about the stories.
But interestingly enough, if you tried to do your itinerary right now today, no, you couldn't do it.
Well, I was fortunate to do it in a rare bubble of peace. When I first set out, I thought this has been done 100 times before. It wasn't until the end that I realized in terms of systematically, chronologically, Walking the Bible is really the first one that does it. And I think one of the reasons is because it was this rare bubble of peace, and that's now birthed.
Yeah, but you know, even there have been previous times. It is fascinating that it hadn't been done before. I mean, there's so many travel books written and so many people that have been interested in that part of the world. And it takes a guy from Savannah, Georgia, who's been a clown in a circus to wake up one morning and say, hey, I've got an idea. Why don't we do this really cool thing?
It's sense of absurd adventure that I have.
That's right. Join us next time for more conversation with Bruce Feiler about Walking the Bible. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse. Thank you for listening to the Kindling's Muse. If this program sparks something in you, I invite you to participate at www.thekindlings.com. That's KINDLINGS. Share this program, tell a friend, or just leave a comment at www.thekindlings.com.